This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So they say a Muslim woman is oppressed. Let's find the facts. And those who are calling for the freedom of women, let's call for the equality. Let's call for justice. Let's save these Muslim women from the oppression of today. So let's free her, please. Free her from what? Free her from her dignity, of course. Free her from the clothes that she wears. Free her from the pride that she has. Free her that she doesn't know who the ancestors were. Let's free this girl. Let's set her free. Come on, girl, come on down. Come on down, where you have no value. Come on down, where your price is for the highest bidder. Come on down, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry will look at you. Come on down, that you'll be judged according to 36, 24, 36. If you fit the bill, you're good. How big the measurements, how good you look, it's not what you have inside, it's what you have outside. It is a superficial, short-lived, a measuring stick that is judged by a human being. They put you like a hanger. They put the clothes on. This year is red. Everybody wears red. This year is black. Everybody wears black. It's below the knee. It's above the knee. It's cut from the right. It's cut from the left. Cut from the front. Cut from the back. You feel like a toy. You're a slave to a man that tells you what to do, what not to do, what to wear, what not to wear. Is that the freedom you're telling me about? Or are you a slave to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? A man that doesn't care who you are, where you go, you're going to end up in the hellfire after him? Or Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula that wants you to go in eternal happiness? Is that the freedom you're telling me about? If this is who you are? It's a choice you have to make, ukhti. So you ask yourself, do you have a life or is it a lifestyle? What do you have on your walls? Who you listen to? Who you look up to? Who you trying to imitate? You walk, talk, eat, dress, everything like. And you'll find out that some of them, unfortunately, go with the flow. That's how I roll. I get the bling bling, I go down. It's true. Why? Because it's the peer pressure of today. And then you'll find out that who I am, that truly am, if you look at the reflection, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you have to think, my grandmother, my ancestors, Khadija. Don't you know who you are, ukhti? Your ancestors, you are the children, grandchildren of the Aisha, Fatima radiallahu anhu ajma'een. So you should be proud, wallahi, of who you are. Walk with your head up high. And think about it. Think about what Islam done. The first indication, go back to Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, the ignorant era, so they call it. You'll find out that women had no rights. Women were killed before Islam just because they were dishonorable. It was a shame. As a matter of fact, it is mentioned in the Quran. It was a shame for anyone to have a daughter. What did they do? They either kill it or bury it alive or bear with it for a shameless day or a long life. It is narrated that a man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I've done something before Islam that I fear that Allah may not forgive me for that. And of course we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins except one, which is shirk, ascribing partners unto Allah subhanahu wa jalla bi ula. He told him after a long story, he said, I had this daughter. I felt ashamed. I was patient for a few years. And after a while, I made a decision that I will either bury her or throw her in the well. And as I've done, I hear my daughter say, you have killed me, Dad. And I waited for her voice to drown till I heard her die. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried and the people around him cried too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةِ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On judgment day, this ma'uda, this young child, this young daughter that's prior to Islam, what sin has it committed for it to die? What mistake has she done? By what right have you killed your own daughters? She will come on judgment day, ask you, what sin have I done to be killed? What right have you had over me to kill me? So this was the first indication that Islam honored women. You go back in history, you find that Islam gave a woman the right to inherit, gave a woman right to vote, gave a right to a woman to have business. All these are authenticated. That Islam has given women way over, not just 100 years or so ago that they were fighting and debating. Over 1400 years ago, Islam given that the rights of women. Imagine yourself, Akhi and Ukhti. And you go back in history, you'll find out that their own faith says the same thing. You go back in the scriptures, you'll find the authenticated ones actually telling you the same thing. Amazing. Islam says no, women are honored. Women are honored. We look at them much more than you think. They're elevated. The only religion on the face of the earth that elevated mothers over 3 times over the father. No other religion on the face of the earth that actually honors women more than Islam. If you think about it, you'll find Islam is the only true path. It teaches you that even when you go ask for your hand in marriage, a wife, she's still wearing the hijab. Why? Because you don't look at that, what we talked about before. You look at her mind. You look at her characteristics, her personality, heart, the religion background, the moral conduct background. Not the other way around where they meet in bars. If she's good or round or she takes her whatever. I'm trying to keep this a family show as much as possible. We have kids. How old are you, son? You get the gist. You understand what I'm saying. Allah help you, wallahi. But of course the sisters have it very difficult. You think it's easy? La wallahi. But you tell me, man, I wear a thobe. Man, I have a beard. No, no. You try wearing a hijab and niqab and walk down the street just in case you think it's easy. Wallahi, it's not easy. They are a walking pulpit, ya akhi. You should be proud, ukhti. It's a izzah, it's an honor for you to be a Muslim muhajjaba. Wallahi. You stick out like everybody else is walking naked and you're holding on. Even though it's hot in the sun, the scholars say every drop of sweat in your body is the heaviest on the scale. You've shaded yourself here, Allah will shade you on judgment day, where there's no shade except His shade. 50,000 years. Imagine yourself. This is a true story. A young girl was wearing the hijab, another sister, supposed to be Muslim. She says, isn't it hot? What did she say? قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. The hellfire is hotter. Imagine yourself, أُخْتِ عَفِيفَ, honorable. No one sees you except what is permitted to be seen, or those who can see you. Imagine yourself, أُخْتِ, as if you're the only one that is fighting. When the whole army is fled, you're the only one holding on to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, in an environment that is full of mischief, transgression, evil deeds and acts. Imagine yourself, Ukhti, being resurrected on pulpits of light, being proud to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, when everybody else around you has not. Imagine, Ya Ukhti, you're called Al-Qaleel, you're amongst the few. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. May Allah make us among the qaleel, the few, ameen. Only a few of my slaves are grateful. And how could you be grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the answer, وَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. It's the amal, it's the actions and deeds. So once you wear the hijab, ukhti, Allahu Akbar. Imagine yourself, the honor when you walk around, nobody will be able to see you and say, she's walking for this, she's looking for that. But we take the norm or the general, inshaAllah, understanding the iffah, the honor and the dignity of that woman by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go back and say, don't be fooled, ukhti. Don't be fooled when they tell you, like some other women done in another country, again so-called Muslim. They took off their hijab, placed it beneath their feet, and they start stomping on it, declaring it's the freedom of women now. Allahu Akbar. And everyone that followed her, she will commit that sin till judgment day. Could you imagine? The scholars will tell you, for every hair that is shown to a non-mahram, to a person that can actually marry you, is considered a sin. You imagine now if the sister is not muhajjaba. For every hair on her head is counted as a sin. You do how many people have seen you without? Multiply by the days of your life. You do the math. Subhanallah. Don't you see this sister that's walking around, especially in the West, that's wearing the hijab or the niqab, like an angel? Wallahi, I've never had so much respect for women till I've seen a sister that is walking in the West, especially, that is wearing a hijab or a niqab. Wallahi, she looks like an angel walking down. Ya Allah, subhanaka rabbi. By the izzah. And some now, the Muslim sister says, I don't want to be known, ya akhi. It's a difficult time, different this and different that. Says, you're going against the Quran, ya ukhti. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْن فَلَا يُؤْذَيْن لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wear this so you will be known. You will be known so you will not be harmed. How could you be known? I am not that type of a girl. That's a declaration. I'm a Muslim woman. Don't mess with me. Where is the pearl come from? The beauty of the pearl is inside the shell. The shell may not look that beautiful, but what's inside that counts. That is the beauty of the woman in Muslims. As a Muslim woman, the beauty of your ukhti is who you are, who you truly are, what you're created for, the reason that is inside your heart. The beauty under the hijab, not the outside, the fake. When you take that sister that looks like a whatever, you take her, you put her under a shower, you take her out, you take all that paint and all that plastic and all that stuff, she looks like a Allah al-afwa al-afiya. But the beauty, the one that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ula, no matter what, you actually admire and respect that sister. The sister that will be with you in heaven inshaAllah. It's totally different. So even the brothers, they may be fooled. They have the picture in the back of their mind that this is who I want to marry. That's beauty. That's love. But don't you see, ya akhi, look at all the dreams before and even nations before. You'll find out that hijab was before Islam. When people tell you that a Muslim woman is oppressed and they forced her with this, I said, akhi, you don't even know. You haven't done your own homework. You go back to the nations before you. I asked him one question. What was that? Color of the hair of Mary, may peace be upon her. The mother of Jesus, may peace be upon her. What was her hair color? They don't know. They tell me, I have heard this. Brown, black, blonde. I have heard this. Blue. Blue, come on, man. It's not from Mars. We're coming down to Earth. Dude. Come on. This is from the schools that come to the center. And they talk about comparative religion and that. World religion classes. I go, you know why you don't know? Because she was what? You tell me, yes, she was covered. You're right. What about the nuns? Yeah, it's covered too. It's okay, let's free the nuns. Free the nuns, man. Free Mary. Let's go do the demonstration in the streets. I tell you, let's go too quickly now. What were you thinking? We oppress women, we force them to wear the hijab? I go, on the contrary. This is a European country. You're supposed to be at the top of democracy, a G7. Freedom, democracy in action. They passed the law that you cannot cover your head. They passed the law you cannot cover your head. Now they're passing other laws that you cannot cover even your face and so on. And they say that's a democracy. They tell you what to do, what not to do, how to live your life, and how to what to worship, what not to worship, how to actually practice your religion, and they call that a democracy. Allahu Akbar. In France, after they passed that law, who walked in the streets of France asking for the rights to wear the hijab? Was it Muslim men? Was it Muslim men going, we want to oppress our women? Let them put our hijab on. No, it was Muslim women that walked in the streets of France asking for the rights to wear the hijab. It was French women that walked in the streets of France to support Muslim women for their own rights. Let them be. But hold on to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because that is your lifeline. Wallahi. This time is short-lived. However, my sisters in Islam, I can't tell you how proud I am of you, wallahi, of holding on to the hijab or the niqab here in the West. It's a struggle day in, day out. But what gets this poor slave of Allah is when I hear a sister on the other line crying. Says, my father will disown me if I wear the hijab. I said, I'm sorry, Ukhti, repeat that please. My father will disown me if I wear the hijab. He says, if you wear the hijab, I will disown you. Or better yet, my husband now is telling me to take the hijab off. I go, Allah. I can't believe I'm hearing those words with my own ears. Have you not heard, ya akhi, that in Jannah there is a banner that says, la yadkhuliki the youth. The youth, the definition. مَنْ يَرَى الْقُبْحَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَيَرْضَى بِهِ. Those who see that is unlawful upon their women folks, the one they're in charge of, or responsible for, and he accepts that. As a matter of fact, you go the other way around. Tighten the dress a bit, shorten a little more, take up the hijab, show a little bit of whatever, and all that stuff. Imagine, or they ask her to do something that is bad or unlawful, or haram. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That is called the youth. On Judgment Day, there is a banner in heaven says, this the youth will not be permitted to enter heaven. So my brothers in Islam, be very careful, ya akhi. So the Khadijas of today and the Aishas of today are brought up in a way that they can understand what the true Islam is all about. People are the product of the society. The environment around you aid you in doing what you're doing or helping you to believe what you believe. So what I'm asking you, akhi and ukhti, is to raise them in the righteous environment. To have the righteous friends. The infrastructure are raised early. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ لِلصَّلَاةِ لِسَبْعِ. Command them to pray at 7 years old. Not when they reach puberty or the other age of 15. No, it's too late then. The scholar says, qiyas, analogy. Do the same thing with the hijab, akhi and ukhti. Link them. So, if your daughters are raised in a way to know what Islam is about and what the beauty of the hijab and the reward, at 7 years old you start. Don't ask him, let them be around the righteous company. Choose the righteous spouse for them. Meaning the mother is the example. That's the one that teaches them. So what I'm telling you, to be proactive, not reactive, ya akhi. They're children that have rights upon you before they're even created. That's another topic. But that's how they're raised, my brother. And the infrastructure of having a good friend. You have no choice of your family, but you certainly have choice of your friends. So three criteria you look for, ukhti, in order for you to hold on. To be resurrected with Aisha and Khadija, inshaAllah, ameen. If you see them, they remind you of Allah. If you see them, they remind you of the path to that Jannah, inshaAllah, the path, the straight path of Allah. Zadaka iman al mantiqu. When they speak, your iman increases. They remind you about heaven, hell, life, death. If you find that, ukhti, hold on to them. And I tell you, ukhti, you are our sister, our mother, our daughter, our wife. You are the core of this ummah. You are the backbone of this ummah. So that's the reason we tell you, we honor you. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the advice before he dies. Look after women. Why? Over 1400 years ago, he realized that our enemies will come through Islam through the gate of women. They will start ruining, giving these ideas about freedom. So he says, look after women. They're the ones that are going to use or raise the youth.
They're the ones that are going to raise your children.
They're the ones that will teach.
They're the ones that are the core of the ummah. Why? Because the ummah have made of countries.
And the countries have made of communities.
And the communities are made of families. And the core of the family is the mother,
whether you like it or not.
She's the one that looks after you and looks after your children. So we have to look after them, my brothers and sisters. So what I ask you new now, brothers. You need to tell your wife, I love you, at least 3 times a day. Look after your woman, ya akhi. That's the advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So when the enemies come and say you're detested or you're oppressed, they say, no, I am honored, I am loved, I am respected, I am raised and honored and elevated.
Yes, dignified. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to that. He used to declare, he says, "Ruziqtu hubbaha."
I was blessed by her love. The best of us declared his love, ya akhi.
So when you go, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your wife, that's another course. But you can understand, wallahi, you can understand when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ummak thumma ummak thumma ummak thumma abak." Allahu Akbar. Your mother, then your father. Isn't that enough?
So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam,
leaving you with one thing. That woman in your life, whether it's your mother, your daughter, your sister, or your wife, is the only creation on the face of the earth that will go hungry in order for you to be eaten,
to be fed.
She will go thirsty in order for you to quench your thirst. She'll have sleepless nights so you can have the comfort of the sleep zone. She will sacrifice her life in order for you to live. She will laugh when she sees you laugh. She will cry when she sees you cry. She devoted her life in order for you to stand on your own feet. You'll find out that who you are is because of your own mother. It's because of the woman behind you. You'll find out that they are the reason,
the second reason of creation.
So you understand now who the woman in Islam is. The rights they have and the honor they have and the love and respect they have in our heart and soul. From now on, ya akhi, when you see this sister walking around in hijab and niqab, you make dua for her. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her thabat. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her Jannah for Dawsa al-A'la. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect her with Khadija, with Aisha radiallahu anhu majma'een. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them for their patience and struggle and strive to be drinking from Hawd al-Kawthar on Judgment Day. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shade them on Judgment Day where there's no shade except His shade. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shade us on Judgment Day where there's no shade except His shade. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to help our sisters to hold on and being righteous and give them the support they need, especially out here in the West, and make dua for them all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. Wa akhir da'wahum alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Jazakumullah khayyidu wa sallamu alaykum.